are the 1, 2, 3
SAR Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
Hey, and I'm Eddie. I know the least about sports, but I'm your average sports fan, your average sports watcher. I just don't know the who's or the what's.
What's up, you guys? I'm Ray. I'm from the North. I love to ice fish. Get me in a wrestling ring. Also get me on a football field. I am an alpha male northerner, call me a Yankee, and if you go to a bar and you see a guy shotgunning a beer, it's probably me.
That's us, we are the Sore Losers, and you may hear her voice every now and then. Morgan number two is joining us today.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Well, she said that she's just working, she'll be in the studio.
The microphone's there, so if she feels like she needs to chime in, she'll chime in, so that's her mic is open. And we are starting the show off with a game that's sweeping the nation, and it is called
Would You Rather?
Game on!
Would you rather sing like an opera star or cook like a gourmet chef?
I'm going to have to say cook like a gourmet chef. My chick has Food Network on all the time, and guys, for some weird reason, I'm envious of athletes, how cool their lives are, but these chefs that know how to cook, they know the perfect temperature, they don't even know what food they're cooking, they know the exact spices to put in. You got Salt Bae, the guy that just throws salt on meat, see his videos on YouTube, it's phenomenal, and he knows how to cut the meat in like 2 seconds. These guys are so impressive, I want to be a chef. Who cares about singing?
I don't know anything about the opera, I've never been to the opera, doesn't seem fun to me, seems kind of boring. Just to get up there and go, oh!
That sounds like Tarzan.
That sounds like, that's what opera to me in my head sounds like. I want to be able to cook like a gourmet chef because I cook the same 3 meals over and over and over and over
again.
What
are those 3 meals?
I cook some enchiladas. I cook
peppers.
Turkey, bell peppers, and rice.
Dude, he cooked that all the time when we were roommates.
Turkey, bell peppers, and rice?
Yes.
And what kind of turkey? Like sliced
spicy
turkey?
No, like
you go buy a whole turkey at the
no, like turkey meat.
Okay, so you buy it at the deli.
Yeah, at the deli, it's like spicy, hot, spicy Italian turkey meat.
I got you. Boar's head.
No.
Oh
no, and I would put I'll put bell peppers, onions, some chicken broth in there, some oregano, and some minced garlic, and some
garlic. You mince it yourself?
No, I just buy it in the jar.
Oh,
and that's what I'm saying.
Do you have a recipe card, or you have that memorized?
Well, I now have it now memorized. I don't know where I learned the recipe, but I learned that one recipe, and I do it. I cook some enchiladas that I really like.
And what's your third dish?
Spicy pork stir fry.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
It is. It's got pineapples. It's got green onions, bell peppers. It's got some soy sauce, sesame sauce.
You do teriyakis? Oh, sesame sauce.
Yeah, and you put it in a wok and you kind of cook it all up.
Where do you wok?
A wok. That's what it's
where?
It. No, a wok.
Well, you take so a wok?
Type of pan.
The big bowl.
So those are the three recipes I know how to make, and I would love to be able to just come up and just start cooking different things because I get tired of eating the same food over and over. And as a chef, you can cook anything you want. You switch up meals, and you come up with these amazing, fantastic recipes, and that's what I want to do.
This is a threefer because I'd for sure be a chef. Like, I can already sing a little bit. Like, I wouldn't want to be an opera singer. Nobody likes opera. Like, nobody goes to operas. Nobody wakes up one day and says, I want to be an opera singer. Like, that's just something maybe your grandfather did and your great-grandfather. Like, I want to be a chef, man. But the thing is, you guys don't understand, is these chefs, they go to school for this. They go to culinary school, and they learn the chemistry of different spices and tastes, and these things go together. It's almost like it's a scientific calculation. Like, don't put paprika when there's cumin. That never mixes. Like, those kinds of things, they take tests over this thing. So always know, Ray, your boy that throws salt on things, that dude probably spent hours and hours and hours in classes learning that
crap. He throws the meat, Salt Bae, in the air and cuts it before it comes down. And it goes in little slices.
And it goes into the pan?
Yes.
Wait, he doesn't miss.
Wait, does he work at the hibachi place?
Does he work at
Shogun?
Tokyo Steakhouse or whatever
Benihana?
It's called. Benihana.
Whatever it is, it's 5-star, and he's almost a private type guy. You pay thousands to get Salt Bae. And especially now, I think he maybe has 15 million followers on Instagram.
What?
Yeah,
Salt Bae
and
is
Salt
his... Bae
is known for doing this. He does like a serpent hand motion, and that's how he throws the salt. Salt Bae. And he'll throw
B-A-Y or B-A-E?
B-A-E, Salt Bae.
Like before anyone else.
I think so. And so he'll throw the salt and it'll go right on the meat. That's how he's known.
Salt before all else.
Salt before all else.
That's it. That's why you do that.
So the first time I went to like Benihana's, it was Shogun down in the valley. It was a hibachi place. That's where I learned how to cook. I watched the dude.
You knew somebody there?
No. They cook in front of you.
I know, but you just studied the guy and
dude, I wouldn't say a word. I'm like, look how he cuts those onions. Then he puts it into the volcano and he puts vegetable oil inside the volcano and then he lights it up. That's how he does it. So my first dish to ever make on my own,
the volcano,
was hibachi chicken.
Because you learned it from that guy.
Yep. It didn't taste anything like the Shogun place, but I did everything the way he did it. I cut the onions that way. I did the vegetables. You know that big piece of butter he put in there?
Mm-hmm.
I'd ask my mom, Mom, where's the butter? I'd put the whole stick in there. She's like, what are you doing? That's what the guy Shogun does.
Hey, and our buddy actually memorized how to do margaritas from a restaurant down the street.
Because they make them?
Yeah. He wrote down all the ingredients, the number, the whatever you need, the salt, the lemons, this, that, the margarita mix, the vodka, tequila?
Yeah, tequila.
And then he came over to my place and made them, and he made them exactly like a place down the street.
And
which
it
is
tastes like them?
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because here's how they get you.
You know who I'm talking about? Isaiah.
Yeah. Oh, Isaiah
dude,
did that. That's right.
He came over before your show. You had some concert, and he had memorized how to do margaritas. Dude, I go in the kitchen the next day. There's a bunch of sticky margarita mix because apparently he did this huge margarita mix.
He noticed that the bar was using fresh limes. So this dude goes to Kroger or the grocery store and buys all their limes. I remember he bought like $40 worth of limes. He's like, it takes fresh lime juice. I'm like, dude, you can buy that in a jar. You don't have to buy 80 limes.
That's really funny. So he squeezed it himself.
He squeezed every single
lime.
He
was in the kitchen the whole time that we were partying, but he finally, at the end of it, had some margaritas from it.
And we're like, hey, Isaiah, we're leaving, dude. We don't have time to drink the margaritas. Yeah, sorry about that. So that is how we play Would You Rather?
Game on!
Greg Popovich, best coach in the NBA.
Yeah, hands down.
And I want to talk about a quote he had. He said, talking about the three-point shot.
He's losing it, huh?
How it's ruining the NBA.
Oh, boy.
He said, now you look at a stat sheet after a game, and the first thing you look at is threes. If you made threes and the other team didn't, you win. You don't even have to look at rebounds or the turnovers or how much transition D was involved. You don't even care. That's how much of an impact the three-point shot has had, and it's evidenced by how everybody plays. And I am 100% on board with Greg Popovich because all it is we're playing horse now in the NBA. You just run down. There is no, you don't need, who cares if you play defense? Because you're just going to go down and take a three and hope you're going to make more threes than the other person. You don't care about getting offensive rebounds because why would you want an offensive rebound? Because that's only going to get you 2 points. You want 3 points. Greg Popovich is spot on. The three is ruining the NBA.
I agree with that totally. And I used to think that we just cherry-picked when we were at recess. You got NBA games now that they're cherry-picking. They just hang out at half court, get the ball, boom, splash brother from the three. If you're not launching threes, you don't keep up with the other teams, with the Rockets, with the Nuggets, the Pelicans, maybe not the Nuggets as much, but for sure the Warriors and Rockets, all those teams.
But isn't that such an old-school mentality of just like, I remember when you had to drive your own car. Now they got self-driving cars. Like, you have to move with the other evolution of the game. Like, obviously it's going to change the game, so now you got to focus on your threes.
Coach, I mean, but that's all that matters.
You watched some NBA, right?
Well, I did, but even in college last night I was watching Seton Hall against
college. Is a little different.
Well, not in this case. Seton Hall was playing New Hampshire, right? And New Hampshire is just a bunch of little dudes. Seton Hall, bigger guys, better overall basketball team. The only way New Hampshire could score anything is by threes, so they never drove the ball. Ever. I maybe counted 10 times the entire game where they just didn't take 3-point shots. That's the only way they thought they could beat size. So in college, for the smaller schools, that's kind of one way to
totally different game
school.
Though, because college, the athletic difference is a lot different when you're playing Seton Hall against whatever school you said.
New Hampshire.
And you can control the clock more with more time. There's the second clock or whatever.
The NBA, there used to be just people that did certain things. Like Charles Barkley was a beast underneath the rim. He was grabbing the rebound. He was the big mound of rebounds. Like, he was inside. Now you don't need that. You don't even care if you have someone that can rebound the ball.
Right.
All you care is if they have one skill, and that's shoot
three-pointers.
The three. That is it. They can do nothing else, and they can play in the NBA. And it just, to me.
But doesn't it make it more fun, though, where like if you have the Warriors have a bad day of shooting threes, they're not going to win.
Exactly.
So it's kind of fun to be like, okay, they're not always going to win. They just could have a bad day where they're not shooting.
Right. But that's
that makes it a little bit more fun where they're not like...
Because I feel like if they had specialists, that like if they had a big man inside that they could, if they're cold from three, they could dump it in, use the post game. They could get someone with the offensive rebounds, put
well, backs. Then what's my point, though? Then they'd be really unstoppable.
But that's what I'm saying is if every team would do that, now it's just three. And
didn't you say too, like, really, NBA right now, I don't know who to bet on because they're all good. I think that's why, because it's just all good day, bad day versus good day, bad day.
It's like a 2-on-1 fast break nowadays.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter because they don't run it. They just go down and shoot a three. So why does the second guy even run down the court?
Really? They do? I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, they just pull up from the three-point line and launch a three.
But why risk a three when it's an automatic two?
Because that's all the NBA cares about is shooting threes now. It's more valuable to shoot threes because if you make 6 out of 10, it's better than making 8 out of 9 two-pointers.
But what about the slam dunk contest? Like, what about, like, the show-off, like, slam dunk? Like, where it's like, oh, wow, that looks so cool, because that's all that was anyway.
Well, the slam dunk competition is an exhibition. It's not in the middle of a game.
No, I mean, like, in a breakaway. Like, you know, just like, it was cool to see a slam. It was cool to see Jordan go up and do a slam dunk when he was all by himself.
Right.
They just sit back and throw a three?
Well, if it's 1-on-none, they may go in for the layup. Okay. But if it's 2-on-1 when you should run, you know, pass it back and forth and make the defender make a play and then you get an easy layup, instead the other guy goes out to the wing, pulls up for three, you shoot a three. I am with Greg Popovich that the three, like, it's just...
But what are you with, though? Because it's just an observation. You're not going to do anything about it.
Hey, and you know the scary thing? There's that new show, what is it? It's called The Big Three, right? Or what is it? Where they play basketball. What is it? They tried to, like, it's a new basketball league. And it's those teams playing, and they have a 4-point shot.
Is it the G League?
No, it's that crap.
Oh, the Big Three. It's 3-on-3 basketball.
And
that's what. And Popovich does say that. He goes, "Hey, I've hated it for the last 20 years. I joke all the time. If we're gonna make it a different game, we might as well have a 4-point play or a 5-point play. Because if you want to get the crowd excited, have some guy go stand on the 5-point spot and shoot the ball.
What's that, half court?
Whatever.
That'd be cool.
No, that's stupid.
I thought that'd be fun.
It's not a circus.
But we're saying I'll go to the 2-point shot, kidding around a little bit. Guys, we're moving in the direction of the 4-point shot. I would say the 4-point shot is more likely than taking away the 3-point shot.
Like, if you in the NBA now,
especially
they're just all these lines all over the court.
There's no such thing.
Nobody
as,
even knows where they are.
There's no such thing as a bad shot in the NBA anymore. People just pull up and jack threes.
Trae Young is now shooting at half court, and they even did stats and said he rarely makes any of his 3-point shots. He's a horrible 3-point shooter, but he keeps shooting these threes.
So what's the petition? Get rid of the three? Like, no, you got to move forward with it. Dude, play the game differently. Now, if you're a big dude who just posts under the basket, you got, it's time to worry.
You know there's no more amazing defenders that we LeBron.
Kawhi is a great defender.
Kawhi, thank you. There's one.
There's some good defenders.
But I guess the rebound is kind of important, though.
No, it's not anymore, though.
Yeah, they're not making threes. You got
to
get it.
But any guy's nickname now because of their defense, like we used to have Gary Payton, the glove.
We used
to have the Junkyard Dog, a dude for the Pistons. It was just mean and on defense. There were all these nicknames, and it was almost like Mount Matumbo. You could never get over Mount Matumbo.
You wave the finger. You don't have that anymore. It's just... Okay, you know what I mean? And because everybody, there's no one the offensive rebound. Why? Because they're all standing out behind the three-point arc, the three-point line. Just, here, pass me.
And a foul, it's not even worth even trying to block a three-point because if you foul the dude, it's three shots.
In the NBA, the one thing that does is when they jump into the defender and they call a foul on the defender, it is so dumb. It
happens a lot.
They do it all the time. And that's another thing about the NBA. I do love the NBA. It's very I love it. It's competitive, whatever. I'm going to watch it. But I agree with Greg Popovich. The jumping into him just drives me so nuts. I wish they would just call that an offensive foul or don't call it at all. If you're not jumping straight up, if you're the one initiating the contact...
Because it's a foul on the guy shooting the ball.
It's almost like a charge. Like it's the same thing.
They're not even trying to make the shot.
They're just putting it up and hoping for the foul.
James Harden's the best.
James
for it.
Harden
it's so
is
annoying in the playoffs. Then he gets the 3-point play.
Or
the
if they just have
play.
Their arm there, if they have their arm out, what they do is they bring the shooting arms and they make them run into that arm as they're shooting, and then they throw the shot up. Like you can't even play defense.
Okay, so question. So. I mean, you called it a circus. Like, you're like, it's not a circus. It's the NBA. But, like, does it Are three-point shots entertaining to watch when someone's draining, like, you know, 10 a game?
It's entertaining, but, dude, these teams now are all going well over 110 into the 120s. Right, it used to just be the Phoenix Suns. Now it's everybody.
Because, Coach, it's entertainment. It is a circus in a way. Not like it's not like the Harlem Globetrotters, but it's a entertainment.
It is kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters now. No one plays defense. You just throw up threes.
Yeah, it's fancy. And fancy work.
Are they running plays sometimes, or are they just straight up playing street ball where you just pass your boys, throw an alley-oop up? Sometimes I don't even think they're running.
No one has a clipboard anymore.
Dude, sometimes I just see
guys
around the three-point line like, give me the ball. Get it over here. Get it over. Come on. Give me the ball. I'm like, that's not even a play. You think a guy would go back door. Get to the basket. Boom. Bounce pass. Boom. Lay in.
I just think Popovich makes some good points. That's all I'm saying is it's not going to change, and you're going to have to embrace the three if you're going
to
win.
You have to adjust to it.
You have to adjust. I just think he has some good points about there's not strategy. It's not like you play this position, you play this position, you're good at this. It's just, if you're good at three, you're going to be on the court.
You're having a good night.
Yeah, and we're going to put this to bed. Good night, NBA. We're done talking about that.
Done.
Yeah. I mean, then Green Bay Packers fire Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now they fired another top assistant because he went on Twitter.
Don't tweet.
Oh my gosh. Why do people do this?
Winston Moss. Ponder this. What championship teams have are great leadership, period. It's not the offensive guru trend. It's not the safe trend. Find somebody that is going to hold number 12 and everybody in this building to a Lombardi standard, period. Hashtag losing sucks.
Stupid people, listen. Twitter. Everybody can see it. It's not the place to vent. It's not the place for you to express your true feelings. Like, if you do, just know that there are repercussions to this. This dude, what's he thinking? Why can't he say that to someone that it's going to matter? Like, why can't he say that to the GM? No, he has to tell freaking Packer Nation or whatever they're called and tell them what's really going on behind closed doors.
I don't even see it as how stupid that he tweets this. Okay, he got fired. He deserved to get fired for putting it out on Twitter.
So dumb.
What I read into it is that number 12 doesn't think he needs to be held accountable. Who's number 12?
That's Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly.
But he's going after the boy.
He's going after the boy saying, listen, you can get rid of Mike McCarthy all you want, but until number 12 realizes he has to be held accountable for his actions and how he's playing and how he acts towards his teammates, that's what I read into this.
Yes.
Is that number 12 thinks he's above everybody, and if you don't have a coach that's going to put him in his place and in an organization, then you're not going to win either way.
And as we're seeing him on TV with the State Farm commercials, he's becoming more likable. America loves him. Everybody knows his name in the kitchen when you're eating dinner.
America loves him?
They do.
I'm talking about everybody as a whole, even some people that don't watch football.
Okay, because they see the commercials. They think he looks like a nice guy.
Stand by. Stop. One second. Bring Morgan number two in. You're going to speak for all of America, Morgan number two. Do you like Aaron Rodgers? Is he likable to you?
Yeah, he's super likable to me. I wouldn't be the one to go online and blast him. That's the last person I would probably blast.
Who would be, out of anyone in the NFL, would you blast? Someone that just like, he rubs me the wrong way. He plays football. I don't like him.
I don't think I know anybody by name enough to say that, but it's typically the ones who are going off on social media. If they can't keep their stuff in check, they shouldn't have a high-profile job where they have the ability to go out and tweet a bunch of people and say things they shouldn't say.
So you like Aaron Rodgers, you see him in those State Farm commercials, and you're like, man, that dude must be real nice and cool, right?
And he has his dog in the commercials.
Oh, yeah. You throwing a dog in there? I mean, heck, you already got all the females like, yeah, that's a good guy.
And how different from what is going on in the Packers locker room. Everybody hated that dude. Even the coaches now we're seeing. But all of America was loving him. And his homies, they hated him. The dudes he does business with every day didn't like him.
It seemed, and when people leave Green Bay, the players, you never hear them come out and say, what a great teammate. How fun it was to play with Aaron Rodgers.
I've never heard that.
Never. Just go look. Donald Driver comes out and says, man, I mean, that dude wasn't very, you know. They don't have anything good to say about him. So this tweet just made me think, golly.
So you think they fired him because he talked bad about Aaron Rodgers?
Yes. Like, and he put it on Twitter. Like,
I think but the underlining real reason.
Yes.
Is there a meeting going on there in Green Bay? Do they have to call a meeting right now and say, all hands on deck, guys?
All right, guys, let me read you all a tweet real quick.
Okay, so we just fired this guy for doing that. McCarthy's out. Guys, it is crazy right now. Everybody's turning on Aaron Rodgers. Are we going to be, I mean, there has to be a meeting, right?
So he gets fired, and he tweets after that, the Packers have informed me they're letting me go. Hashtag thanks, Twitter. No. Dude, no, hashtag thanks yourself.
Yeah, and that's and back to what I originally said. Really, it's not Twitter's fault. Realize that what you're saying on Twitter, people are going to read, including your bosses. Like, there's just stuff that they don't want out there. If that's the truth, which I think you're right, Lunchbox, it probably is the truth.
It probably is, but you can't put it on Twitter. Can't. You can't.
Oh, expect to be fired if you do.
So let's play
be
a
cool
game.
With it.
Would you rat? No, different game.
Okay, dude, we're just keyed up for that.
Yeah, I know. Okay. We're used to
keywords in our head. That's the only game we play.
Hey, we're robots. Oh, a game. Would you rather?
Who gets another Super Bowl win first? Aaron Rodgers or Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, Mike McCarthy's going to join with a great team.
Who?
He's been a respected coach.
What team?
Anybody.
That needs a coach.
Dude, you know how many coaches right now have only been around for a couple years that could easily just be let go? There's not these legends of coaches that stick around for 15, 20 years. There's Popovich in the NBA, and there's McCarthy in the NFL, and then Belichick and a couple other random guys thrown in there. Dude, coaches don't stick around as much as they used to. Joe Pa, 60 years. Nowadays, that would never happen.
I agree with you. However, I think Aaron Rodgers will win a Super Bowl first because it's going to, wherever McCarthy goes, it's going to take time for him to build that team, whatever team that is. The Patriots aren't going to hire McCarthy. Like, the already winning team isn't going to hire him. It's going to be a losing team that's going to have to start from the bottom. And Aaron Rodgers has a better chance of doing it. I mean, he's going to have to. I mean, that team needs a redo. Like, the Packers just need to refocus and figure stuff out.
Well, that sounds like more years than a McCarthy just joining a really good team. The Aaron Rodgers thing doesn't seem like it's happening immediately. Does it sound like that to you when you say it?
He still has the talent. I mean, his talent is evident.
But he's going to be playing probably with the Packers, and they don't. They're missing something.
I'm
going to
say Mike McCarthy, because I don't think Aaron Rodgers wins another Super Bowl. I'm not saying Mike McCarthy is going to win it in a year, 2 years, 3 years. But
just because you're doing career,
I think Mike McCarthy will be a coach for a long time in the NFL. Someone else will hire him, give him another shot, and so he can coach beyond 5 years, 6 years. Aaron Rodgers is 35 years old. He's got 3 or 4 years, what I think, left. And if he doesn't win one in 3 or 4 years, it gets really tough to win. And there's a lot of young quarterbacks in the NFC. There's a lot of good teams. And his salary keeps getting more expensive. It's going to be harder for the Packers to win. Not saying that they can't, but in the next 3 to 4 years, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers can get another Super Bowl.
I mean, that's smart betting. That was stupid. I didn't think about that. I mean, McCarthy has like his whole life.
He does. He has his whole life.
I mean, Rodgers has a max 5 years left. I mean, that's a max.
He has another bad year, dude. Can you imagine it? It's the greatest downfall ever.
He just seems like the hard-head, stubborn dude who's just going to play till he's dying.
Now,
he's like,
he
can't
could
even walk.
Play until he's 42, 43, but his body's already breaking down at 35. He gets injured a lot. And so...
That's why he's got good car insurance. State Farm.
Yeah, he has an agent too.
Should I pack up my khakis?
Hey, no,
leave your khakis.
I just caught the towels on fire in the bathroom. It wasn't me.
You've never gone to the bathroom?
No. Just happened. That commercial's pretty funny. And guess what? We just did it play by play.
It's a pretty
which
good.
Means we're watching the commercial.
It doesn't matter though. I'm not watching because of Aaron Rodgers. He says one word. Like,
yeah, he's just kind of there for the face. And why is Clay Matthews the star now? Like, why is he in all the commercials?
Is he in other commercials?
Yeah, when his house catches on fire, it's Clay Matthews.
When he throws the golf club or whatever through the window.
That's an old one.
I know.
No longer in rotation.
He's in there, and then he's in what is that movie? Pitch Perfect 2?
He is?
Yes. Like, why? I didn't know that. And he does the Head and Shoulders commercial.
So Rodgers hooked him up with some crap because Rodgers has access to some commercial stuff.
There was something about him and his hair and just his character or something that separated him from everyone else. I remember him as, like, when I really just didn't care about what was happening, the dude with the long blonde hair.
But we know,
you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
And it's his look. It's what he is.
Yeah,
it just
so
kind
of course he's
going
to get a TV commercial with long hair. Head and Shoulders. It makes perfect sense. But what I'm saying is with commercials, we understand it. You could turn down, in our industry, you could turn down every commercial, right?
Yes.
For the most part.
Yeah, but yeah, Coach, and Antonio Brown's in one. Juju Smith-Schuster's in one.
Antonio Brown is a huge star. I don't consider
Juju's
Clay's
in one.
Matthew.
Dak is in one.
What is Dak in?
He's in the Campbell soup when he's just
right.
At practice.
What is Juju in?
He's in the dancing with Antonio Brown. He's teaching him how to do a dance. It's Pizza Hut or something.
So that's really more of an Antonio Brown commercial than
you
needed
must
a
have
teammate.
Kids, dude. You know these commercials like the back
yeah,
of your
I'm like,
hand.
I don't really, I guess I don't watch
My
commercials.
My kids love the commercials.
Dude, when it's commercial time, I'm chugging beers. I don't remember any of these commercials.
I am changing the channel during commercials. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to the fridge. I don't know, but I rarely see commercials unless I'm stuck on an airplane and I'm watching a game and you realize, man, there's a lot of commercials in an NFL game because you're just sitting there going, all right, come back from break, because you don't have time to on a airplane to change the channel. All right, this, that.
I don't know why I know all these commercials, honestly.
And now they get us with the in-game commercials. All right, guys.
Oh, the Bozo.
But I like that. Where they have
I love it, but they get you every time. The game has been going good. We're going to let this Bose commercial run, and it's been a good... Oh, they got me with the commercial.
Dang,
I've already
it.
Watched like 10 seconds of it. We're going to stick around. Oh, so there's no commercial? Oh, Bose, there it jumps in. They're smart.
Who was it? Todd Gurley at the beginning of the season, he had a commercial. Jay Ajayi had a commercial.
Jay Ajayi, no, he did
yes,
not.
Yes, he did. Because what? Because I remember my kids specifically going,
Jay
Ajayi? Is that guy British? Is he British, by the way? Because he has a British accent in that commercial.
I'm looking up his commercial, sorry.
I think the commercial,
he's from United Kingdom.
Yeah, UK.
He went to Boise State.
Oh, I knew that.
Didn't know that? And now you do. So next time you're at a bar and everyone's like, where did Jay Ajayi go?
I knew he was
school?
Boise State. It wasn't Statue of Liberty year,
but that's
it was
the
after
first.
That
commercial coach is the first time I realized that he was British, because he's like, he said something. Ah, thanks, man. Be right back.
The athlete commercial that impresses me the most is the Heisman House, when they're able to get all those Heisman Trophy winners in the exact same house at the exact same time.
What are they all doing?
Nothing.
What's Matt Leiner doing
so
right now?
So they have time,
Coach. Call him up. Text him right now.
Because sometimes at times it seems like they have about 20 of them in town. You know? Somebody's in the other room, and we all get out of focus.
Wait a minute. How? Are you in those commercials? They are just sitting on, they're living off their Heisman. That's what they're doing.
They
That's
do
why
anything.
They're in the commercial.
Okay, I'm just always impressed. I'm like, they got all those guys in at the same time to film this? That's cool.
Now, the one I do like right now is the Dr. Pepper one with Eddie George.
Uh huh.
When the guy goes to the doctor
he's the hamburger flipper?
Yeah, he's the hamburger flipper. That one makes me laugh every single time. He's like, Doc, am I still going to be able to grill?
He's the best flipper around.
And he goes, I'm sorry, man. Your season's over. No, Doc. And he goes, why can't you use your other hand? That's his Dr. Pepper hand. And then he shows him out at the next tailgate trying to use his right hand. And he flings the burger. Oh, man, that is a funny commercial.
Dr. Pepper has some good commercials because they have that dude.
Oh,
who's
they have
the
that
Dr.
dude.
Pepper
the
guy.
Crazy dude who's a Dr. Pepper
he,
guy.
He invented the college football playoff.
Huh?
That's what he acts
right.
like when
oh,
he.
Yes, correct.
He's like, I came up with this.
He acts like an expert, but he's just a Dr. Pepper dealer.
Morgan, number two, do you have any favorite commercials?
Do you watch commercials during games?
Yeah, especially during the Super Bowl, I do. That's like, I tune into the Super Bowl for the commercials.
Dude, you're talking to America right
that's
now.
That's different. I mean, us too. I mean, obviously.
Does any of them stand out that, I guess, have an athlete in them or any other commercials that you watch during a sporting event? Most of them are probably going to have an athlete in them if it's during a sporting
event. Yes.
Because my chick's channels, dude, I mean, she never has an athlete in any of her commercials. Every one of her commercials is like, oh.
Jennifer Garner.
Oh, dude, it's all girls talking to girls about hair, makeup.
because we're watching the Hallmark Channel, Lifetime. Like, yeah.
It's crazy. The completely different commercials, polar opposite, that guys get and that girls get. Guys are all beer ads.
You should watch kids' commercials.
On the kids' channels?
It's crazy, dude. It's all toys. and every time a commercial comes on, my kids fall for it. That looks so awesome. I want that toy. I'm like, great. That's how they do it.
Who wins a national title next? Ohio State or Urban Meyer?
Because
Urban Meyer says he's retiring from coaching.
Yeah, you know he's coming back.
Coach,
game,
a national
though.
Title, that's a lot of work. I just don't see Ohio State winning one.
With your boy Ryan Day?
No, he's good.
Dude,
but coach,
I gotta go.
Alabama's still, I mean, for the next 10 years, right?
Nah. Do they have another quarterback coming up in the ranks?
They have Tua's brother.
I get that. Oh, they do have Tua's brother?
Wait. He's committed.
Same dad. They both like football after that upbringing. That's crazy.
Dude, easily Ohio State. Their Big Ten's pretty easy, and they play a lot of Big Ten teams. I've just started to realize that. They rarely have to play SEC, it seems like, until championship time. I mean, dude, Big Ten almost. You have a clear-cut path right to the championship if you have a decent year. Ohio State almost made it in.
No,
almost, and they suck.
You have a path to the Final Four, but, I mean, you can't, like.
You have an easier path. It just seems like it. Dude, Ohio State sucked to Purdue, and they almost made it to the Final Four. Almost.
Hey.
If Oklahoma would have lost.
I'm going to play your numbers game, though. Urban Meyer doesn't have enough years. Ohio State has the rest of their university life. Like, Ohio State will win the next national championship. I don't think Urban Meyer will win one. I don't, even if he comes back or whatever he does with his life. But Ohio State, I don't think will win one in the next 10 years, 20 years.
Wow.
You know, Urban Meyer now, for sure, is just getting such a bad little rap and image and look. Just,
you think?
For sure now, after all this.
Urban Meyer will win a national title within the next 5 years.
What if he goes NFL?
He's not going to NFL. He'll go to a
college. I guess he's kind of young, huh?
Yeah, he wins everywhere he goes. He was undefeated at Utah. He wins some national titles at Florida. Then he wins a national title at Ohio State. I mean, I just think he takes a year off, lets the, you know, kind of controversy blow over, kind of disappear for a little bit, win back over America, win over fans, be on TV, likable guy. People forget about the whole controversy. He's back on the sidelines. His headaches are gone, and he starts recruiting, wins a national title 4 years.
Morgan, number two, do you know who he is?
No.
Fair enough.
I thought about it for a second.
But you know Nick Saban.
Yeah, I know
so
Nick Saban.
So he's a household name. Urban Meyer, getting there.
I think I'll put a lot of college.
Was he the one who coached under Saban?
No.
Who's the one who coached under Saban and just went to a new team?
Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just played each other at
Georgia.
That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you want to tell her who he is real quick?
Well, Urban Meyer,
Lunchbox loves him.
No, I hate him. He's a sleazeball, slimeball. He's retiring after this year because he has health issues, but really...
He became pretty well-known at Florida with Tim Tebow, right? Yep. And then it seems like a couple of years after that, that's when he said he had health issues, got out of that program.
Yeah, he said he retired from coaching, was off for a year, and then he took the Ohio State job. Then there was some controversy at the beginning of this year for an assistant coach that was accused of domestic violence. He tried to kind of sweep it under the rug, keep it, you know, under wraps.
Oh, okay. I know who you're talking
She's looking at his picture.
Yeah.
But when you said that too, the picture and that combined. Yeah. I do.
So,
can I ask you guys a question on the topic of coaches and stuff? My alma mater, Bill Snyder.
Oh, he needs to retire.
Retired. He did.
I'm glad he retired. He needed to retire. He was like 85 years old, I feel like, or he looked 100.
I mean, was he still doing a lot, though?
Yes.
I realize now they have guys that play call this, play call that. As a coach, are you really doing that much when he's at his age, or a lot of assistants and stuff helping out?
79 years old.
He's getting a lot of help. I mean.
And what's crazy, though, is that he could still recruit kids, and kids would still listen to him at 79 years old. How do you still have the energy to coach? How do you relate to 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids? How do you go into their living room and say, "Hi, I'm Bill Snyder, and I would like you to come play football." And they'd be like, "I want to sign with you." And he'd be like, "What? I got to turn my hearing aid on."
What did he say?
Hey.
He said he wanted to sign with you, coach. But I'm sure he's been...
You want to sing with me?
I'm sure he's been doing the whole spiel for 60 years, coach. I mean, I'm sure he's got it down like perfectly.
Hey, we're going to win a championship. Trust me, parents, with your son. Come to my school.
Here's the briefcase of money. No, coach, they stopped doing that in 1960. Oh, no more money? Okay, sorry, you can't have the money anymore.
It's going to be the funnest university you'll ever experience.
You're going to have... State. Here, watch this movie. It's called Animal House. It's all you need to know about college.
Okay.
Morgan number two.
No.
Morgan number two.
Easy on that one.
Did you ever see Bill Snyder when you went to K-State? Did you ever see that guy walking around campus?
Yes, and I did meet
him.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about what did you say to him? Is he genuinely nice? Because he seems like a genuinely nice grandpa.
He's a giant teddy bear is really what he is. He's just really kind. But when I lived in the dorms my freshman year, there was a lot of football players that lived in that. It was the co-ed dorms. And
you lived with the football players?
That's what's
co-ed
tell us
dorms.
More. Tell us more.
What went down in there?
Nothing. They were co-ed dorms. I lived with women, it was co-ed. But he came by there at one point and they all respected him tremendously, but hated him.
Oh.
Like he was a really intense coach, but they respected him so much. So what he seems gentle and kind because he is older. I mean, they really didn't like him after the season. They'd be like, "I respect everything he did. I get it.
Yeah.
That's a great coach." But during the time, they're like, no.
He probably instilled fear into them.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you kind of have to do that with kids.
I did worry about him sort of
having
this
a heart
year.
Attack.
Heart attack or...
Aneurysm.
If, you know, someone gets tackled out of bounds.
Oh, God,
I was
done.
Worried
Joe Paul went down.
That he would not be able to get out of the way.
A guy got Joe Paul one time, and he took it. He bit it bad.
I hate seeing old people fall.
I thought that he was going to get a Gatorade bath, and it was just going to knock him over because he was so frail.
He has hypothermia.
I like Bill. What he did at K-State, because he was the coach for a long time. They were good.
They sucked this year.
He retired.
Though.
Yeah, they're not good.
They haven't been good in the last couple of years. And they were terrible. So he came out of retirement and went back and just started getting it rolling again. And it was time. I just felt like it was time. He was struggling. He's 79 years old. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he's retired and he got to enjoy coaching for so long, but I felt like it was time.
Coach, and I will. Oh, sorry.
Well, I'll just quick question. Like, I just wonder, do most, how many teams in Division One football? I mean, roughly, is it 50?
In Division One football? It's like 256.
Something.
250? I don't know. Whatever it is. Does every team.
What did you say originally? 20?
He said 50.
Good God.
Does every team. Okay. My bad. Fine. 2,000. Does every team start the season with like, all right, guys, this is our year. We're going to make the national champion. Okay, so.
There's 129.
129. I was off.
So, and what's crazy is half of them make a bowl game, just so you know.
Right.
So when people say, oh, we won a bowl game, stop.
Half of them. That's ridiculous.
And it, get to your point.
My point.
Go.
I have a question.
I
want to
hear it.
And the question is like, you know, this coach is old, and a lot of teams have coaches that are old, and I feel like for some of them it's more important for them to keep coaches around for a long time because they're respected and they just don't expect anything from their team. But at what point does a team go into the season going like, all right, this is our year, we're going to win a national championship out of 200 and whatever teams?
I feel like for Alabama, that's every year.
I say about 15 to 20, realistically, at the beginning of the year, believe they can win a national title.
Every year.
Oh, not every year. Every year, 10. There's some years that the coach is like, okay, we have a national championship. Next year, they're like, eh, not so much. Oklahoma State last year thought they could. This year, they knew they were going to be a little bit down. And they thought they could win a national championship last year. So Alabama, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Georgia now.
Most of the SEC schools.
They all think they can win it every single year. Other schools, it's once every 5 years, they have a team good enough, they think, to win a national title. And some have less goals, like, let's just win the conference this year. Let's win our division of the conference. They're not going to say that to their players, but deep down as a coach, you probably know our goal, our max, is to win our conference.
So with like a school like K-State, and they have an old coach, like another schools that have just old coaches, they don't really are thinking there that this coach is going to bring a national championship.
Yeah, like when Florida State had Bobby Bowden, you don't think they still thought they could win a national title? Absolutely. I just don't think K-State believes they were national title contenders. I think they were content with winning seven, eight, nine games a year. They didn't expect Bill Snyder to take them to a national title. If they got to a playoff or a bowl, like a Sugar Bowl, a Rose Bowl, that's icing on the cake. They were competitive. They had good student athletes. That's what I think they want. There's some schools that I think are satisfied with just being average, and that's okay.
And they have to be, because in college football, there's a lot less games. In college basketball, you play way more games. And
all you
got to
do is get in the tournament.
And in a tournament with 64 teams. In college basketball, I would almost say there's 50 to 75 teams that legitimately think they can win the national championship. Now with the boys of like Duke and Kansas, now maybe this year there's about five teams, but I would say most years in college basketball, I would say about 50 teams think they can win the national championship.
They think if they get in that tournament, they really can.
Yeah.
As the season goes on, some people decide, we can really win it this year, and others realize, we're not as good as I thought we're going to be. Probably just happy to be in the tournament, win a game, and then we can go home.
And look at your team, if you're a college football fan, look at your team's schedule the next year when it comes out. Who do they line up to play? If the schedule isn't that great, you're never going to go to the Final Four. If the team lined up some pretty good games, hey, we think we're going to make a run at this thing and try and get to the Final Four. You can just tell by the schedule, Coach.
All right.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I mean, there's so many teams, I always wonder, like, what are their hopes? Like, really?
Well, like Wyoming.
It's almost like when we play the lottery.
Wyoming does not ever believe they're going to win a national title.
Even
ever.
With Josh Allen, maybe they got
ever.
A little excited.
Maryland, football. They do not think they're going to win a national title.
And when they beat Texas right off the top, you don't think they were like, whoa, this could be our year, boys.
No, they did not think they were going to win a national title. Deep down, I don't think they believe they're good enough to win a national title. I could be wrong. I'm not a coach.
Hey, I'm just asking your opinion and Ray's opinion. Thank you, boys.
The You're NFL welcome. Came out with an article that they want to change the punt. They want to make it safer, and they are asking fans to submit their ideas on how to revamp the punt to make it safer.
I know.
I just, let me start with this. I don't understand the problem. Like if you want it to be safer, they have the options for it to be safe. The fair catch is safe. If you look like, okay, it's really high up there, everyone's coming really fast, fair catch. You have the option to protect yourself. It's their risk whenever they say, screw it, I'm going to run this for 40 yards. Screw it. I don't care if there's a dude coming at me 100 miles per hour. I'm going to catch it anyway, and I'm going to make him miss me, and I'm going to score a touchdown. That's up to you, dude. That's a risk that you take. It's safe enough that you have a fair catch option.
I would say, this is going to sound really dumb, but you have to stand 10 yards back from the guy that gets the ball. You have to be 10 yards away from him, and you have to be 10 yards away from the kicker. So the kicker will be safe, and the guy that gets the ball will be safe.
I don't think the kicker's ever even in danger.
They get lit up sometimes.
So you don't think they should be allowed to block the punt?
They can't.
Like, what if you're down by 3 points with 3 seconds to go, and you're trying to block that?
That's important.
Right, but that's the only problem with that. That's like when they say they want to get rid of the kickoff.
The kickoff's already over. Like every guy,
they should do it just like middle school, where you just throw it.
Dude, it's the dumbest thing ever on Madden now. People kick it into the stands every time. I haven't returned a ball in Madden in like a year.
Coach, we're talking about the NFL.
Oh.
Just for 1 minute, please. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It is the same thing. It's realistic. But like we were saying, the onside kick nowadays is so hard to get. The Bears did get one just because Odell was scared to stick his nose in there. But
they did it a week after you said that it's stupid. No one will ever get
one.
I've never seen an onside kick.
And then that Sunday, it happened. That was funny to me.
They said they want to get rid. They were thinking about getting rid of the kickoff. How can you do that with if a team's down by seven, then the game's just over? Like how does that work?
Yeah,
and
I
so
agree.
The punt. If I was coaching a team, I would just tell my guy,
don't catch it.
Fair catch
every
single time. And I would tell my gunners in my line, don't block them.
Yeah.
Don't even try to block them, because I feel like 99% of punts, there is a penalty for holding a legal block in the back. So you end up getting it farther back than where you would just fair catch it and take the yards. And it buries you in your own end. It frustrates me more than anything when I'm watching football. I understand if you're down by 5 points and there's 10 seconds left, okay, go ahead and try to run it, you know, run the punt back. But besides that, fair catch.
To make the punting situation completely safe, maybe interesting, probably really boring, take everybody off the field. There's one person on the field.
Oh, punter and returner.
Not even the returner, just the punter. Wherever the ball ends up, that's where you start. Well, so it's just the punter. He just goes out on the field.
There's tumbleweeds blowing.
And there's not even a guy that hikes the ball to him. He just kicks it.
Okay? I like it. It's interesting.
What, you like it?
No, it's not.
I'm humoring him.
Then
you don't like it.
It takes away the aspect of the fake punt. If you're going to go for it on fourth down and
that's a key play sometimes.
So I don't know how you can do things.
And it's just the punter out there.
That would be a weird feeling if you're just the only one out there.
That would suck. But you know, think about all the strategy they would come up with, though. Like, all right, kick it out of bounds or just...
Well, the other team has no strategy. It's just the punting team.
They have nothing. They got to just land
where it
lands.
Right, they have to just land it where it lands.
But, Coach, explain this one to me. So when they do the fake catch, you know, sometimes they punt the ball and the returner acts like it's coming right to him, and he acts like he's going to catch it, but the ball's really going to go 20 yards
over
his head.
That's a pretty dope move.
It's a smart move.
I love it. But does he call a first catch? Does he wave a fair catch when he does that, or does he act like nothing's there? Because I'm just scared that he's going to get popped when the ball's 20 yards behind
him. There's always that possibility. It's the same thing you do in baseball. You fake like you're about to get the ball. You fake like you're going to tag a guy. It's sometimes tough when you're running.
Yeah, but this one's risky, because if he doesn't call a fair catch, which fair catch, Morgan, too, is when you wave your hand and you let him know you're going to catch the ball.
And they can't hit you.
You cannot hit him.
Coach, but they get out of the way.
I believe they wave fair catch.
Okay, so they just wave fair catch that way. It's just like, don't hit
me.
I'm just acting. I'm faking it.
And then the defenders think, okay, I got to be here just in case he muffs the punt. But really, he's hoping the punt's going to land in the end zone. It's going to be a touchback.
Don't you think there should be a penalty, though, for waving fair catch when the ball's 20 yards over your head?
No. It's called strategy. It's the job of the defender to locate the football and get there.
But you're calling a catch. And you're not going to catch it.
Okay.
It's kind of a lie.
It's sort of like a wide receiver can go up and act like he's going to catch it, but he's not going to. And
but he's not waving a technical signal. Like an official signal that says, hey, I'm catching the ball. Don't touch me. And then he doesn't catch it? There should be a penalty for that.
What about in baseball when the second baseman goes, I got it.
That's not a call. That's a call amongst teammates. That's not a rule call.
You haven't let me finish the story.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Go ahead.
But what they do is sometimes they'll act like they're going to catch it, and it's really a ground ball to the shortstop because the guy, you know, like if they're running, like if there's a runner on first and he's stealing. They act like it's a pop fly when it's hit, and it's like, oh, I got to go back to first, but it's really not.
But again, that's not a technical signal. That's not a signal that signifies a rule.
I don't think it should be a penalty. I think it's the...
I'm going to write the NFL today after the podcast.
Yeah, come up with your idea and say, hey, maybe make it a penalty to...
I don't think there's really a risk in punting. Like, I don't think they should change punting. Like, it's just the risk is up to the returner. Like... If he wants to catch it and try to run it and he gets popped, that's up to him.
I love, though, how safety is a huge concern in the NFL now. Dude, back when we were kids, they never said anything about helmets, structuring the helmets.
Can you imagine what the old dudes think watching this crap?
Dude, old days when we used to watch football, guys drilled each other. Rarely is there a big hit. Now that you go, oh, when we used to watch as kids, it was every Sunday.
Like, think Dick Butkus watches this and just like,
why don't you just put flags on them?
No, a lot
why
of the guys
y'all
do
wear
say
panties
that.
Instead of football pants.
I didn't know I turned on the lingerie league.
You know, I bet a lot of these old dudes are just like, back in my day, we used to whatever. Like
Morgan, as a female, Morgan number two.
Oh, Morgan number two, I didn't realize you were there. Sorry, I said panties. My bad.
Is the violence disturbing to you when you watch football?
I don't think it is, but I have watched that movie, the Concussion movie, and I get it. I mean,
with Will Smith?
Yeah.
I've seen that movie.
Are you kidding me? It's a
so
huge
good.
Movie.
Never seen it.
it's called CTE.
I know.
Yeah,
I've heard
it's
of
about,
it.
It's the true story of the guy who figured out what happens when you get hit in football. And I see why it makes sense. Watching it on TV, no, I don't think it's a lot. But then you see him get injured. Everybody's always getting injured. Everybody's always playing injured. You have all these players who are playing when they're hurt, when they should be taking time off. And that's when I think it gets concerning. Those few hits that you have here and there, I don't think those are a big deal. I think it's when you're just continually putting yourself in jeopardy because you're like, I have a broken wrist. I'll keep playing. Like,
you got to tough it out.
Yeah.
I got a broken finger. Just chop it off.
Yeah. But that's how it is. And then they get more hurt and then it's worse. And
I mean,
then...
this is a barbaric game. Like, this is a game of just like grab the rock and try to move it as far as you can violently.
Well,
like,
it's the only sport in major sport in America where you can touch the other athlete and there's not a penalty.
Right.
Call.
This
in
is
baseball.
Like...
You really can't touch to grab the other guy. In basketball, you can't grab the other guy. In golf, you can't grab the other guy. And in hockey, you can't grab the other
guy. In hockey, though, you knock the crap out of each other.
You
soccer, block, you knock the crap out of each other.
Oh, yeah, coach. Hockey,
soccer,
that's all
you
they
can
do.
Knock the crap?
Yes. Hmm.
I feel like the majority of sports is how it is. I mean, you just take risks. That's part of playing sports. It's just worse now that stuff like that movie came out, and it's like a direct correlation from getting tackled.
Yeah. It doesn't feel good to get tackled, guys. I've told you time and time again, it hurts so bad to get tackled. Whenever they said when I was growing up, we're going to play tackle today, I'd be like, I'm sitting this one out. Tell me when you guys are playing touch. I hate getting tackled. It's the worst feeling in the world.
I don't remember my body hurting. I remember my head.
You didn't play.
Football?
Your body didn't hurt? Dude, I hated football.
My body hurt the next day.
The only
My body didn't hurt when I got hit. My head, though, like I would see white. When I got hit hard, I would see white. I wouldn't feel any pain, just like, whoa, what just happened? I must have just got nailed. And then you're on the floor, you're on the ground. But the next day, yeah, different story. Your body's hurting. But that's what I remember, white light.
My roommate in college, he loved high school football so much. His ears would bleed at night. Like, he would wake up with blood on his pillow from his ears.
What on earth?
And he wouldn't tell anybody because he wanted to play football.
What did he play?
Oh, my God.
Defense or something? Both offense and defense. Jeez, he went to a real small school, so it was he was like two ways, so I think he played both ways or whatever. But he said he just loved it, and he goes, I knew my mom would take me to the doctor and they'd tell me I couldn't play football. So, man, I had blood coming out my ears at night. I just washed the pillowcase myself.
I remember my mom would get my I would come home with, like, you know, my elbow skinned up or my knees skinned up or whatever. And my mom would buy me like pads for my elbows. I'm like, Mom, I can't wear this. Like, that's sweet of you. I know you're trying to protect your boy, but I'm not going to show up to practice with elbow pads. Like, but she's like, you have to be careful. I can see your bone on your elbow. I'm like, it's part of the game.
I remember when me and my brother went to my mom after our freshman year of football, and we were like, we're done playing football. We're like, will you tell dad for us?
Oh, you were scared to tell your dad.
Oh, yeah. Because your dad wanted
you
to play.
He was so disappointed. He didn't talk to us for months, probably. He was so disappointed. When we both went to him, we're like, hey, Dad, so the season's getting underway. So we're not going to play football. Literally the most awkward conversation ever.
But your dad's, what, 7 foot?
He's huge. And he's just like, what? And we're like, yeah, Dad, we're not your size. Like, when we get hit, it hurts 10 times as much as when you used to get hit in high school. You were the big guy.
We're the small guys. Two small twins.
That's really funny. My dad, I never played football. And my dad didn't care one bit. And he also said, because we grew up in Texas, he grew up in Chicago. He said, if I lived in Texas, not sure I'd have played football either. It's too damn hot.
It is very hot.
Like, it's very hot. Yeah. He goes, that would have just been awful. But he never said a word about us not playing football because he didn't really care.
But Texas football was pretty intense.
It's life.
I mean,
oh, it is life.
That's probably worse than any other where in the country as far as high school is concerned.
Like, you watch Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching it right now. And everything, and I tell my wife, like, everything you're watching, all of this stuff, as far as the football team goes, all that's true. Boosters getting involved. I mean, bunch of illegal moves, bringing students in from another school, athletes in from another district to live in their aunt's house to play for your team, money in the lock. All that stuff is true. All of it. And even decisions of where just like, I can't move my family. Like, this school depends on me. I'm the coach. I need to live here. Like, all of that. It was life. Because in a small town in Texas, Friday night, nothing else to do. That's what you do.
Yeah, Ray, I wouldn't have wanted to play either. But you're from Michigan.
What do you mean, what are you saying? Why wouldn't you have wanted to play?
For that reason alone, I love Friday Night Lights, but the idea of everything that comes with it, I mean.
As a female, you don't have kids yet. If you have sons.
That's a good question, Lunchbox.
And they come to you and say, Mom, I want to play tackle football. At this point in your life,
you're
25 years old, right?
How old are they?
Well, what, I don't know. They're
make-believe kids?
Yeah.
9, 10 years old.
Okay, they're 10.
They come to you right now as a 25-year-old.
You get really into those things.
Yeah. Would you think you'd say, yes, you can play football, or no, I'm not letting my kids play football?
Yeah, I would let them play whatever they want to play. But my thing would be, if you get a concussion, you're out. Like, you're going to get
one
hurt.
One concussion and they're out?
That's kind of when it starts to, it's once their first injury comes, they all start to follow.
But what if they have Tom Brady talent? What if their talent is superior and you know that these kids, if they work hard and they keep doing what they're doing, they're going to end up in the NFL and they get one concussion?
I mean, I think... I don't. Then, they could then at make that
millions.
Point, at
Morgan
that point,
two.
Then I'm like going to my doctor and say, "Okay, what's like what's the best situation here?
What's five concussions? Let's be real. Come on."
But I would. I mean, I can't be the one to stop them do that. If I would, I'd be mad at myself. That's their decision to make. Hopefully by the time they're like in high school, they're making a decision. Yeah, I should do this. Yeah,
I think
shouldn't.
Every parent secretly wants kids like Ray and his brother. Like that just, that on their own go, we're out. Like
really?
Yeah.
Tua's dad didn't want that.
Well, no.
I would love to be a football mom. Like, okay. I would love to sit in the stands and watch him play.
But you don't have kids. Okay. Let me explain something in Lunchbox.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Well, as a new parent for you, and I've had
somebody go with the four-way stop.
Everyone's inching. I was all about, like, I loved high school. I love football. I can't wait to have kids because when they grow up, they're going to play football. Now that I have two kids, again, I'm going to support them whatever they want to do. But deep inside, I would hope that they'd come up to me and be like, no, I don't want to play football. I'd rather play baseball, or I'd rather play basketball, whatever. Something that's not violent and can risk getting a concussion. Yeah. And that didn't happen until after I had kids. Lunchbox?
We talked about Tua Tagovailoa. He's the quarterback at Alabama.
Yeah.
He did an interview this past weekend, and he said when he had a bad game, his dad would hit him with a belt.
Oh, my Lanta.
I laugh because he changed his verbiage. I like it.
It said beat with a belt. Okay. And
the headline
so
did.
I say he beat him with a belt. How does that make you feel when you hear?
Just knowing the story, the way he said it. How does that make you feel?
Oh, I hate that. That's the worst thing you can do, I think, as a parent. I mean, when I played softball and basketball,
so if
I
you
would
struck
get
out,
reprimanded
did you get
by my parents. But they would
What's
never
a reprimanded
lay
like?
They would just they'd scold me. They'd say, what are you doing? We spent all this time in practice. Why are you doing that? Why can't you hit the ball? What's happening?
So when you struck out, did you come home and get beat by a belt?
No. No, no. That would never happen. And I would never do that to my kids because they're already... The thing about kids, especially when it comes to sports, they're already being hard on themselves. Once they strike out, they're like, dang it, everybody saw that. I hate myself. Why did I do that? All you got to do is be supportive, but be also like, help them get to their next point. I don't think you can do that with a belt. I think at that point, you're just forcing them to either have a hate for the game or a passion for the game. You're making them go one way or the other.
Yeah, and now Tua, you know, is in the running to win a Heisman and plays for Alabama.
Which is crazy, but I bet you that's the rare case.
Yeah, that's
the,
so
more
rare.
Often than not, I bet you the kid quits because the parents put too much pressure on them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I feel like we've beat this topic into the ground. We've beat this podcast in the ground. Let's go home.
You done? You all done?
I'm done. That's all I had.
All right.
Coach, I mean, we covered CTE, the punt rule, and high school football.
Well, the punt rule is interesting to me because it's just like, why are you trying to fix out of everything? You're going to
NFL is
try
always
to
trying,
fix the
coach,
punt?
The NFL's progressive. They do awesome stuff. Baseball doesn't change anything. They come up with the instant replay, which... The more I think about the instant replay, dude, it sucks so bad, especially on MLB The Show. You have to sit around for a minute for the umps to do the instant replay on PlayStation.
The only thing I do see changing in MLB like is in maybe the next 10 years or maybe 20 years, all the pitchers are going to have masks, like face masks, you know, because that's just
the
dangerous.
The line drives back up the middle.
That's just dangerous. Like, really, I'm shocked that it doesn't happen more often, but like, and the reflexes that these pitchers have is amazing.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
If that was me, I would have gotten nailed in the nose every single time. Don't never saw that coming. These dudes move so quick.
Sometimes I don't even think they think about it.
But how does their glove end up in the right place?
Like, we were playing co-ed softball one time, and my sister played first base. She was left-handed. She could dig the ball out of the dirt. She was fantastic with the glove. And there was this dude on the other team. He was and he ripped a line drive down the first base line. And I don't know how my sister got her glove in front of her face. She caught the ball, and the guy apologized for 30 minutes afterwards because he felt so bad. And she says, I don't even remember putting my glove there. If it would have hit her, she would be dead. Like, I mean, and that's what I mean. Like, yeah. I just think
it's
like,
a reflex.
And just a reflex because
Like 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, it was Easter, and I had just bought a wooden bat, a Louisville Slugger, and I took it to my parents' house for Easter. And me and my brother were like, dude, let's do batting practice.
I'm with the Woody?
With a Woody. And we're like,
how do you hit with a Woody?
Hitting with a Woody is completely
different. It's great just
different.
Because the sound is great, and it just feels like it's like...
Like, is it not uncomfortable to have a Woody when you hit?
Oh, it hurts your hands.
Don't, he's the Woody, being stupid, guys. Oh my God.
No. The Woody is always going to hurt your hands. The Woody's completely different. Kids now play with these aluminums. Dude, it was Woody season back in the day. When we played, it was tough with a Woody. So,
go ahead, keep going.
So, you'd go to this, what'd you win? Yeah, to a family event?
You have the Woody in your hand.
The
Woody in your hand. Go ahead.
So we're hitting my brother.
He gets back.
Me and my brother and the Woody.
Is your brother holding the Woody or are you holding the Woody?
I'm batting and my brother's pitching. He's not too far off. Like, we're not good. He's not a good pitcher, so he's not that far away. And so he's throwing and I'm knocking him out and whatever. And my mom's like on the porch, like,
what are you guys doing with the Woody in the front yard?
Hey, y'all be careful.
Hey, put that Woody away.
Be careful. Don't hit each other. Mom, please, we got it.
Where'd y'all get that Woody?
Dude, me and my brother, we take turns.
That's a nice Woody. Did your mom hold the Woody?
No, my mom never held the Woody.
Okay, go ahead.
And so, go to the end of the story.
The end of the story is after doing it for like 5 minutes, finally, I got a hold of one and hit my brother right in the stomach. And
him with the Woody?
No, with the ball. Line drive right in the gut. And he was just like, all right, we're done. We're done.
Yeah, he's like, never go in the front yard with a Woody again.
Are we done with this podcast? Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
All right, everybody hit us up on Twitter. Sore Loser Show on Twitter. Oh, see, now
you never talk about Woodies, and now that Morgan number two is here, you do a Woody.
You're the one that brought up the Woody.
A wooden bat.
Who would have thought you were going to bring up a story about a wooden bat?
I just bring out the best in you guys. What can I say?
Thank you, Morgan, too. All right.
I almost made a really bad joke.
Ray, any locks for tonight?
No locks, Coach. I've been ice cold. I said the Preds the other night, and they actually, there was a backdoor so the Preds didn't cover by two.
Yeah, I saw the G League had a game going on like when we started the podcast. I was going to bet on it, but it's done now.
And it's a Wednesday. What are we betting? College basketball and NBA late games? I mean, there's no locks in that. That's a crapshoot. Give me a college game you can predict.
I think
predict.
The Spurs and the Rockets are on tonight, aren't they? I saw a promo for that. I think I might bet on that one.
Oh, boy. I think the Spurs.
Well, do you have a lock or you're just.
I have no idea. I'll check it when I get home.
I think we head to L.A. to play the Lakers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, because we lost. We got blown out by the Jazz. Ugh.
I saw a promo for it. Maybe it's not tonight. I don't know.
It may be tonight. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Great. They're at the Lakers. I might bet that one. I love those late games. It's going to be on TV, right?
Yeah, ESPN.
Dude, Lakers are covered every game.
Hey, Lakers are 14-9, boys. LeBron started taking them, boys. Dang. I tried to tell you guys.
Let's go.
All right, well, we're out of here. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. Good day and good luck.